Pass the salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
What's the title of that song? Not the title, but what's that famous line in the song Stairway to Heaven by the Eagles? You can stab it with those your steely knives, but you still can't kill the beast.
Hotel California.
I was thinking about that today as I was walking my way down into this to our my multi-million dollar studio, thinking about that beast that can stab it with your steely knives, but you just can't kill the beast. I began to think about, Lord, what is that? What is the beast? What is that steely beast? Because we talk about the beast rising up out of the sea. We talk about a lot of beasts. We talk about the Antichrist beast. We talk about a lot of beasts. But you know, I've come to the conclusion that that's really not the beast we're dealing with. It's really not it. Really, really isn't it. And I thought about some of the I thought about the way that I live my life and the things that motivate me in my life, and think about when I come down here and I tip off CoachDaveLive.com. I always look to see who's in here, and today there's 37. Probably going to be more than that here in a minute in the queue. I'm talking. There's more than that are watching. You know, they're watching on different platforms. They're on Facebook. They're on what they call that thing, Periscope. They're on YouTube. I believe we have a growing audience. But you know, it doesn't really matter, because that's that beast. That is that beast. Let's think about why people get mad, and why I get nasty emails. Why people send me nasty emails. Why they think that they're going to change what I believe by a nasty email. And why when I read that nasty email, there's always a little bit of a beast, if you will, that rises up inside of me. It's always a beast. I think about people who, one way or another, get offended. Jesus was known as the rock of offense, by the way. John Bevere called it the bait of Satan, offense. Offense, to take offense at something. I thought of the number of times that I said things that were taken out of context, some taken out of context on purpose, some just taken out of context. I think about how Kyle, my buddy there at Right Wing Watch, how they sit down and they record and write down everything we say, hoping to find something that they can take out of context and build something on it to defame me. Or not, it's not just me. I'm talking about me because I got a larger platform than most. They're probably saying stuff about Alan. They're probably saying about every. This morning.
You're fading in and out, Coach.
I don't know why I am. I don't want to be fading in and out. Anybody got a solution to it? Help me out. Because what I got to say is pretty important. I don't want to be fading in and out. Let me get this. Maybe it's this phone. Jerry's always telling me it's my phone. Let me get this thing out of the way. Because I want to stab it with that steely knife. I want to kill the beast. And I think the beast that most of us are dealing with is found in 1 John 2. And I'd like to share it with you right off the bat here. Because as we do this, I want you to just think of all across society and all across culture. What's the hot button? What's the hot button? When you get frustrated, you get angry, what's the hot button? If you could really put your finger on something, say, you know, if I could just do away with that, if I could just stab that steely, if I could just get some steely knives and stab that beast and get rid of that beast, my life would be better. Because it leads to a lot of things. You say, Coach, what is it? What? Well, I hope I'm not breaking in out because this is a good one. This is going to be a good one today. And Sheldon, if you can, I'm sorry, but hit the wrong button over here.
You see, you got the normal, Coach.
Yeah, okay, good, man. I moved my phone. Maybe that was it. Thanks for the heads up, Larry. Sheldon, pull up 1 John. Well, look, my granddaughter stayed last night. This little Macy. And then here comes Mia. These are the two of the prettiest little girls you ever saw. They stayed at Grampy's house last night. They want to see themselves. Let me put you up there on the screen, Mia, Macy, so you guys can see yourself. Hang on, folks. They can't see themselves. Hey, get up here where you can see yourself. Huh? There they are. Say hi, Macy.
Hi.
Say hi, Mia.
Hi.
Macy and Mia, my two monkeys. My two little monkeys. This is why I fight. This is why I do what I do. I take and tell you that. So they stayed with us last night, and they were both wonderful little girls all night long, and they're up having pancakes with Gigi today. Right?
Not pancakes, waffles.
Waffles, that's what I meant to say. Waffles. Awesome. Okay, girls, you run back up with Gigi. Good. Okay. Thanks for coming down. Thanks for coming down. I'm in 1 John 2 because I want to stab it with my steely knives, and I want to kill that beast. I'm trying to find you, Sheldon. I'm sorry. There it is. Now I got to where are you presenting, Sheldon? I can't find it on my screen, brother. I go to John Smith, and I get a picture of you. Can anybody see the screen other than me? Is there anything up on the screen other than Sheldon? Right there, we go. All right. It wasn't me. My little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation or the payment or the exchange for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He had said, if I know him and doesn't keep his commandments, well, he's a liar and truth's not in him. But whosoever keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. How? We keep his word. That's how. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which you have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. And again, a new commandment I write unto you, that which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, the true light now shines. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. I'm going to show you the beast that we all have to stab. He that saith that he is in the light and hates his brother, well, he's still in darkness until now. Listen, brother doesn't mean human race, okay? I'll get into that another day. He that loveth his brother abides in the light. There's none occasion of stumbling in him. I wonder sometimes, I would never, ever do anything purposefully to offend any of my brothers in here, ever. But did you know what the truth is? Some of you get offended. Some of you don't come back. I didn't intend to do it. But he that hateth his brother and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goes, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. So I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. He's trying to make a point here. He's trying to make a point, all right? I write unto you, fathers, because you've known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you've overcome the wicked one. And I write unto you, little children, because you've known the Father. I've written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. And I've written unto you, young men, because you're strong. The word of God abides in you, and I have overcome the wicked one. Isn't it amazing how he spaces those guys out? Young men are strong. See, young men shouldn't be given into sexual sins. Young men are strong. You shouldn't. Love not the world. Neither the things that are in the world. Because if any man loves the world, the love of the daddy is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Boys and girls, that's not of the Father. That's of the world. And I'm convinced this morning that the biggest problem we are dealing with in America is right there. Sheldon, you can underline it. The pride of life. That's it. That is the beast that with the steely knives, you just cannot kill. Pride. Pride. And we all fight it. And I thought, you know what? When I get angry at somebody, it's almost always because they said something I didn't like and it offended me. It was my pride. Why is it when I get up in the morning and I jump on here and I do this show and I look here and I people say, or somebody would say to me, hey, coach, how many people are watching your show? And immediately rides up that pride and you want to say a big number. Because you want people to know you're important. And everywhere we go and everything, black pride, gay pride, homo pride, this pride, that pride. That's the beast, boys and girls. And the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abides forever. Little children, it is the last time, and as have you heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. Hey, Jeff, they went out from us, but they weren't of us. Let me say it again. They went out from us, but they weren't one of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt have continued with us, but they went out. That they might be manifest that they were not of us. But you have an unction from the Holy One. Thank you, Lord, I got an unction. And you know all things, and I have not written unto you because you know not the truth. I write to you because you know it. And that no lies of the truth. That what a power, I'm a wordsmith. What a powerful sentence that is. I have not written unto you because you know the truth, but because you know it. And that no lies of the truth. He who is a liar, who is a liar, but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. The one who does that is Antichrist. Because the Antichrist, he denies the Father and the Son. We don't have Antifa in the streets, we have Antichrist in the streets. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. And he that acknowledges Son, well, you got the Papa too. Let them therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. And these things I've written unto you concerning them that seduce you. What a word. There it is. He said, I'm writing you, warn you about those who come and going to pull you off, the ones who are going to seduce you. But the anointing which you have received of him abides in you. And you need not that any man teach you. But it's the same anointing teaches you of all things and is truth and is truth and is no lie. And even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. If you abide in the truth, you abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him. That when he shall appear, we may have confidence, not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteous is born of him. There's an identifier for you. The pride of life, baby. It's the pride of life. Everybody wanting to be somebody. Everybody wanting to be important. Why is everybody always picking on me? Pride of life. I fight that one. We all fight that one. At the root of every offense you ever experience is pride. At the root of it. Jesus was known as the rock of offense. See, my friends, here's what's happened to us, I think. We won't speak the truth to our loved ones because of pride. The Bible has taught us, our pastors have taught us, our churches have taught us, that if you say something true and it hurts, you're mean, and Christians aren't mean. Folks, that's pride of life. And the only reason, if I say something to one of my friends that's true, I would try to say it in a way that's not offensive. But if they're offended by truth, the problem is theirs. It's not mine. I cannot allow them to dwell in darkness for fear that I might hurt their feelings. That is the ultimate pride of life. It's pride on my part. I don't want to be mean. And I'm confronting pride on their part. That's that beast of steely knives can't kill. And I'm talking to me today as much as I'm talking to each and every one of you who have I should never, ever, ever, in a perfect world, I should never have to worry what I'm going to say for fear of offending somebody. Because truth offends. Truth, by its very nature, offends. Truth divides. Truth unites, but truth divides. The sword of the Spirit divides. If I say to my children who are living in sin, if I don't point it out, I keep the peace. Why do I keep the peace? Because I haven't attacked their pride. I haven't called their pride into account. That's a beast we're all fighting. The five I wills. Does anybody remember where that is? I'm sorry. It's just stream of consciousness. Satan said, I will be like the Most High. Where is that? Anybody on the top of their head?
Isaiah
14, 12. Thanks, Craig. Isaiah 14. Just start in 14. Just go to Isaiah 14, Sheldon. Because you'll see that the five I wills. Go to 12. Let's scroll down to 12 a little bit and see what that says. There you are. There it is. There you are. How you have fallen from heaven, morning star, son of dawn. You've been cast down to the earth. You were once laid low. You once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, I will. There's pride. I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars. I will sit enthroned on the mountain of assembly, on the utmost heights of Mount Zaphon. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. My body, my choice. Who are you to judge? At the root of all of it, my friends, is pride of life, man. It's pride of life. That's what we're dealing with. Here's what I want to ask you just before I go any further. What have you learned from being part of this morning huddle? Listen, please don't say, oh, you're the greatest teacher. No. What is something you have learned? Some of you have been in here for... Larry was in here first day I started. I didn't even know Larry.
That's fellowship.
Huh?
Fellowship.
What do you mean, Joseph?
Getting with like brothers that we have and sisters that believe in the Lord and being with one another and the act being activists towards children being killed and coming up with a game plan.
And put the importance, Joseph is saying he's learned the importance of fellowship with like-minded believers. Amen. What else?
Can I take a stab at it, Coach?
Sure, Larry.
Unity, which ties in exactly with what Joseph said. the ability to actually locate and find fellow true brothers and sisters in Christ. And I use that word true on purpose because a bunch of them are out there false.
Mm-hmm.
But the ability to know who some of my true brothers and sisters in Christ are, and every now and then get out and reach and touch them and work side by side with them, mm-hmm. and stand with them in Charlotte and go to Louisiana and sweat and work and, yeah. Yeah. And unity. Unity is why I'm here.
The importance of it. Somebody else.
Yeah, I would say ditto to what was already said, but I would also say the application of biblical truth to the culture, the world that we walk in, the world that we live in.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Somebody else.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Boldness and courage. Would you teach the oracles of God and have the experience and take an action? It's a blessing.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Jeff. Somebody?
Coach?
Yeah.
To take action where you stand. This is Stephanie. And to face my own fears about not being afraid to speak whatever it is that Holy Spirit puts on my heart. Because sometimes, you know, put stuff on you that you're like, what? You want me to say what?
That's right. That's right.
You got to go with that when you know that you know. And he's saying, do it. You just do it. And to not question that, no matter how abrasive, how extreme, how crazy it may seem, it's like, okay, just use me. And I've learned that just being and listening with everybody here. And I thank everybody.
Stephanie, you know what the Holy Spirit just spoke to me?
Hmm.
The boldness to obey.
Yes.
The boldness to obey.
Yes.
Wow. Somebody else.
Coach.
Yes.
Well, you just read it in the scriptures. Don't let the world seduce you. They seduce people all the time.
That's right. In fact, Jeff, when you're reading about that in 1 John, he's talking about believers. He's talking a lot about believers who are seducing you, right? And about the pride of life and how the desire for people to want to be right is nothing more than pride. To lock your teeth on a belief and not shake loose just because you've always believed it. Folks, that's pride of life.
Hey, Coach, there's something else I forgot. I think also the show epitomizes the first chapter of James where it talks about be a doer of the word.
Mm-hmm.
This show has taught me more about being a doer of the word than any other sermon inside of the four walls of the church.
Amen. Praise the Lord, Glenn. That encourages me. That's what I want. Somebody else.
Dave?
Yeah.
I've learned that I have been seduced. I'm one of those believers.
Wow.
You just read 1 John that I was seduced. I thought to be a good Christian man, a husband, Christian father, going to church every Sunday, that was the end game. Sit in the pew, put money in the plate, maybe be involved in the church, you know, do Sunday school classes. I thought that was the end game. And I've learned here that, that's hardly the end game right there, you know.
Yeah, we learned not to make waves, didn't we? Rich, isn't that what it was? Isn't that what they taught you in church? Don't make waves.
Right. And then now, I call it the frustration, but that I see more and more all the people around me are, not that I've got all the answers, but how many of them are seduced and don't want to see the light, even if you try to share it with them, you know?
So I want to say this, because this is really what prompted me this morning, is virtue signaling. Do you guys know what virtue signaling is? Virtue signaling is nothing more than pride. And where do I have that, Sheldon? Let's see. Where did I put it? Virtues down there, down at the bottom. Virtue signaling. Click on that. What's the definition of virtue signaling? According to Lexico, which is whatever the heck that is. Virtue signaling is the action or practice of publicly expressing opinions or sentiments intended to demonstrate one's good character or the moral correctness of one's position on a particular issue. Virtue signaling. You signal to everyone else how virtuous and caring and honorable you are. A lot of virtue signaling going on. NFL's virtue signaling. Churches are virtue signaling. Pastors are virtue signaling. Pastors want everyone to know how much they hate racism. Pastors want everybody to know. You know what I'm talking about, right? It's all virtue signaling. Virtue signaling. And so what happens is a group of people gang up on a group of people come together and they determine from their perspective something that is right. And then they do everything they can to virtue signal to everybody else, this is right. And if you're a good person, you will follow this. That is virtue signaling. And virtue signaling is used to mask, the truth. It's used to mask the truth. To say somehow, that all lives matter. When you say that, people already have lost jobs because they said all lives matter. And that does not virtue signal that black pride is more important than white pride. Somebody say amen. So I know that what you're picking up on. And our churches are doing nothing more than virtue signaling because they are They are locked up in the pride of life. The churches are after the pride of life. They don't want anybody to think that they are not virtuous, good Christian people. So they will follow the stupidest of things to make everybody else think they care and they love and they're honorable and they're virtuous. And that has crushed truth.
Amen.
Virtue signaling is nothing more than controlling. It's the controlling of truth. Virtue signaling is the controlling of truth. Now, I want to say this. This is for Right Wing Watch. I have the right to offend. I have the right to disagree. I have a right not to lose my job simply because something I say or something I believe. I'm going to really, really shake you here. I have the right to be a racist. I have the right. I'm going to say it again. I have a right to do something wrong. I have a right to believe something that's not true. I have that right. And the only reason that we do not speak up more is because we don't want to give people the opinion that we are not good people. If I said that Jeff Klein won't sell cars to black people, I got the right to say it. It's not true, but I have the right to say it. Or if I point out that the biggest problem in the black community is sin, not skin, I have the right to believe that. And no amount of virtue signaling should be required. And no amount of those who have a different opinion attacking me should alter it as well. But we know that that's not true. We know that what I just said, you're not allowed to say. Let me give you an example. One more thing. Then I'm going to open it up more, Now, what I'm about to say, you have the right to get offended, okay? I'm going to give you the right to get offended. But I'm going to tell you this. If you get offended, check your pride. Check your pride. Why would Jesus be called the rock of offense if he was not touching on people's pride? There's nothing that offends you, me, any of us more than someone saying something about us, whatever it would be. So I'm gonna.
That's the reproof and the rebuke coming in, Coach.
Yes.
And yeah. We don't like that. My wife has done that to me a few times, and it's just like me being a cat, and she stepped on my tail. I mean, it's just.
Amen. So let me, Sheldon. I'm sorry, folks. I'm getting that last of this cold out of my chest. Masks do not work. Could you pull that up for me? Now, listen, I'm not talking about 3 months ago. I'm not talking about 3 months ago, all right? People wearing masks. I'm not talking that. My wife came home yesterday, and she said to me, I can't hardly take it, honey. Sometimes she calls me honey. I said, what? I can't take the people wearing masks. I can't take it, she said. So I get it. And I ask myself, why are people wearing masks? John Rappaport says, mask wearers of the world, take them off. You have nothing to lose but your insanity. The Journal of the American Medical Association, April 20th, 2020, masks and coronavirus disease. Unless you are sick, a healthcare worker, or caring for someone who has COVID-19, medical masks are not recommended. Now, John Rappaport goes on and lists about 5 or 6 different studies here saying that masks are not effective, that people are wearing masks. Can anybody explain why? Why are people wearing masks?
Some people are wearing masks for various reasons.
Which are?
I'm wearing a mask. Well, I was wearing a mask to signal to other people that, hey, you could, if you think that me wearing a mask helps you be better protected, then that's fine. I want to signal that you can be comfortable around me. But then 3 days ago, a scientific report came out that masks actually do reduce the viral load that you might receive if you're around somebody that's expelling the virus. That they do, they don't stop it completely. They don't keep it from coming in, but they reduce the viral load, and that reduced viral load reduces the severity of what you might get if you do catch COVID. So now I guess I wear a mask when I'm in public, in tight quarters, inside. I take it off when I go out the door. But the reason I wear a mask is, to me, it just makes common sense for me to wear a mask at this point in history. And that's where I do it. So I don't do it because I'm afraid. I don't do it because, I don't do it out of fear. I do it out of my reasoning tells me I'm okay with wearing a mask.
Well, Larry, what about all these studies here that say it's not effective?
Well, there's some 2,400 medical reports that have come out since the 1st of February when coronavirus became a hot subject. Out of those 2,400 report, less than 4% are peer reviewed. There's reports that say anything. If you want to find information about anything, you can find conflicting reports on every subject.
Okay, so let's say this. Let's say Larry has a legitimate reason to wear a mask. I'm going to tell you this. 99% of people who are wearing masks are doing it because of virtue signaling. That is my opinion. That's my opinion. And I can go right here to John Rappaport, or I can go to the next one that I have, Natural News, and pull that next one up. Larry, I'm not trying to pick a fight.
I know that. That's why I'm still here after I got offended the first time you started talking about masks. But I decided I'm not going to let that little difference.
Don't take it personally, right? So the WHO just obliterated. This is Natural News. Just obliterated every argument for mandatory masks. The WHO just obliterated every argument for mandatory vaccines or contact tracing by declaring asymptomatic carriers don't spread COVID-19. And he goes on to explain, Mike Adams, that they don't work. Now, I don't argue about masks. I don't argue about masks. What I'm trying to show you is that the culture is being programmed through virtue signaling. We don't want people to think that we don't care about them. The exact same spirit of modern evangelifish Christianity. We don't want homosexuals to think that we don't love them. Exact same thing. Folks, it's the exact same spirit. It is not the spirit of truth. And I think, for me, see, I'm glad Larry's not offended.
Hey, Coach.
I think I contribute to this insanity if I do this. I think I contribute to it. That's what I think. Yes, come on in.
Coach, that was the initiation, and most people pass it. They get to be in that signaling group. Coach, I'm going to say this. I'm going to throw this out there. I believe that that discrimination, if you want to call that, and then racism and all that, is exactly what you just said. It is.
It's virtuous. I'm not racist. Why would you even bring it up? I'm not racist. I didn't mean to walk on you, Randy. Go ahead. That's all this is, folks.
I'm reaffirming your point. This has to become a revelation, or you're just gonna it's gonna go right over your head, everybody.
Because they are absolutely, they are destroying Christianity, the truth of the gospel of the kingdom. They are destroying it through virtue signaling. Who are you to judge? Don't judge me. My body, my choice. And if you want to stand up, do you understand that, folks, it isn't the Christian worldview that is winning right now. The Christian worldview isn't winning. Why? Because Christians have adopted the virtue signaling of the world. They have been the salt of Christianity. Christianity has not been the salt of the church, the salt of the world. It is absolutely backwards. And because of the virtue signaling of the world telling the church how good Christians ought to behave, we are losing the truth of the gospel. We're losing it at one little step at a time because we would rather signal to people how virtuous we are than to do what we've just read in John. Speak the daggone truth. Tell them the truth.
Amen.
Amen.
If I may, I believe that what it is, and just a different perspective, because it says in Romans, the soul that sinneth shall surely die. We are born sinners. And so, brother, to me, everybody has the sealed destination of hell unless they become saved. And I mean truly saved. Therefore, we are populating heaven by plundering hell. Now, about the virtual signaling, I believe is that, yes, I believe it's calling out the goats. It's showing the goats. Because wide is the path to death, hell, and destruction. All we're seeing is what used to be back in the 50s, where still back then, many people were going to hell, but they still had virtue. They did their jobs. They didn't smash windows, and you didn't know. Now you're seeing it even more so. But what I believe it is causing Christians to be real true Christians, to become more separated from anything of this world. Amen. And more heaven bound. In other words, brother, we are laying aside all those encumbrances that so easily entangle us. And brother, we are grabbing onto Jesus to where we're at the point. We're like, this is it. We have settled this truth in our heart. I'm going to become more and more staunch of a Christian.
Amen. Amen. And the truth is, Jeff Klein, I care what you say, but I'm not going to let it dominate what I think anymore. I'm not going to let it do it, folks. I believe we deny the truth when we virtue signal. Jeff, I didn't mean to pick on you. I believe that when we see something, I'm just talking about me now. I'm not trying to pick on Larry. I'm not trying to pick on anybody else. From my standpoint, when I see somebody wearing a mask, I'm going to start saying something. I'm going to start.
Coach, saying, let me help.
You know they don't work, don't you? You know those masks don't work, right? I'm not going to play the game. I'm not going to virtue signal what a good Christian I am as I watch what they do is foolish and is doing nothing more than programming us for the obedience to an ungodly government later on down the road. That's my take. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Come on, Craig. Coach, let me help you make your case.
All right.
I think part of what you got is allergies. And I got to mow my grass today, and I really need a mask to keep the pollen out. I don't have one, but I know where to get one because one of my local stores, Costco's, requires me to wear a mask if I go into their store. So I went over to Costco yesterday, and there they are at the door with the mask. Here, put this on. And I said to the guy, could I see the box that the mask come in? And he looked at me kind of funny. He said, what? I said, could I see the box? And so he handed me the box, and I looked at the top and the bottom and the sides. And I didn't see anything on there where it protects me against COVID-19. Nothing at all on that that says it protects me. I took the mask, and I wore it like you did at the airport. And then when I'm checking out, I caught a supervisor there, and I said to the supervisor, you know that these masks don't work. And he said, well, what do you mean by that? I said, I checked the box out, and it says that they don't cover COVID-19. He says, well, and I said, well, why do you make people wear them? You have to wear those in here. He says, well, to make them feel good.
I want to make them feel bad.
And Coach, my wife is on her way to work this morning, and she's working COVID ICU. And I get what Larry's saying too. And it doesn't stop. But when you start understanding microns, bacterials, the only thing those little white paper cloth masks will, they don't even stop dust from sand. they knock down pollens. But brother, the microns of the COVID-19 is so small, it's like a wide screen pouring water over a wide screen. It just flows right on through it.
So let me ask you something, Dale. People say, listen, I wear the mask just because it makes others feel comfortable, right? Well, you know it doesn't work. So that's the ultimate lie, that you're wearing that so that they can feel better. That's not true, folks. It isn't true. Connor, stop wearing masks. Rashid Buttar, I posted this on our website today. Dr. Rashid Buttar, Mike Adams, whether the peer review or not, of people who are saying, and this, Sheldon, put it about 1.5 speed. We're not going to watch the whole thing, okay? Folks, listen, this is all programming, virtue signaling. Next thing will be masks. Then they're going to say vaccinations. Or then, how about this? Do you know whole industries are now popping up producing masks? Does that tell you masks are not going to go away? Do you understand it? Do you understand it? Stop wearing masks. Go ahead and play this real quick.
It's a false sense of security, Coach.
Pride of life.
It gets rectified in the very, very near future, within the next few weeks. Our world, and when I say our world, I'm not just talking about where I live or where you live, but our world, our planet, is going to be a different place. They will be sicker. They will be controlled. They will not have any privacy. They will not have any future. I want to make sure the world understands where the problem lies. The danger is not what's in front of you. The danger is what you're being distracted from. The only way that you can control people is by keeping them in ignorance. But as soon as a person becomes empowered with knowledge, the one thing is that nobody can control you once you are aware. The world needs to wake up and understand that what's happening right now is an illusion, and it's going to mandate other things coming down, which is include RF chips. Everybody's going to have mandated vaccinations so that they can track those people and know who's been vaccinated and who's not been vaccinated. Stanford came out with a study a couple days ago. The Stanford study said, this shows that the rate of death from COVID-19 is no different from influenza. That's what the study showed. Do you know what mainstream reported? That the study showed this is more rampant than anywhere else on the planet. It's more rampant than we thought. Well, of course it is. I think the entire population of the world's been exposed to it. But they didn't focus on that part. They just said, because the study, Stanford study said that we think it's much more widespread, but the death rate is no difference in flu. And in fact, that's based upon the data that they're giving, the data that's being reported for cause of death. But you know the means right now. You fall out of a plane without a parachute, cause of death, COVID-19. You get shot in the head, COVID-19 killed you. You have a heart attack, COVID-19. They're putting the cause of death as COVID-19 for almost everything right now. And you know, we've heard this type of information before. Some would call it conspiratorial, some would say it's rhetoric. But look, right now, you would have to be blind and deaf to not recognize that what is happening is not normal and is not justified. More doctors are not coming out and talking about this. The numbers don't add up. It's very, very simple. You can look at the math. You can look at the cause of death. You can look at how things are reported. And because they can't justify the numbers, they're now manipulating the numbers. They're now adding numbers to it. In other words, the number of deaths weren't sufficient to justify this. So they're now having nurses and doctors change death certificates after the patients have died. The only way that you can control people is by keeping them in ignorance. But as soon as a person becomes empowered with knowledge, the one thing is that nobody can control you once you're aware. You cannot be victimized once you're aware and once you've been empowered with knowledge. When a surgeon wears a mask, and when a nurse wears a mask with a critical patient, we're not wearing that mask to protect ourselves. When you're doing open heart surgery, you're placing a knee or you're doing some kind of, you know, hernia repair, why would you be worried about getting sick, you know, catching something? You're not. You're wearing the mask so you don't drool, you don't spit, you don't cough, you don't sneeze into that open surgical field. It's because you're keeping it sterile, all right? When in certain societies they wear a mask, they're not wearing the mask to protect themselves, they're wearing the mask to protect others from them getting, from them spreading it. Now we come to the United States and we come to the current issue. Everything is misinformation, all right? We know that stress increases the cortisol, which is the stress hormone, which decreases the immune system. So when you scare people, tell them to stay home, you suppress their immune system because you're scaring them, you further suppress them because economic issues, they're stressed out. Now you tell them wear a face mask. What are you doing when you're wearing a face mask? A face mask reduces the amount of oxygen coming in. So now your body's in a chronic state of stress. And that face mask is obstructing airway. Just today I saw a woman that passed out in her car and died, had a car accident and died because of the lack of oxygen from her face mask. They're pushing this agenda, and it's an agenda to make people weaker, to make them more susceptible. The face mask then also prevents, when your body's being stressed out and you're not getting enough oxygen, it then creates other issues. Remember they said don't touch your face and don't, okay, well, if you're sweating and you've got the face mask, don't you think people are gonna be pushing it around? Okay, on top of that, when you have this release of viruses, because viruses live inside our cells, when they have this release, when I say live, they're not living, but when they're released and you're wearing a face mask, you're preventing the ability to, you're actually stressing the body out and increasing the viral activation, if you will. All right, so you're actually increasing the susceptibility of the individual stress-wise and increasing the viral load. So tell me, if they really wanna help people, why are they telling people that they should be wearing masks? It's completely preposterous. The world needs to wake up and understand that what's happening right now is an illusion, and it's going to mandate other things coming down, which is include RF chips. You know, for those of you that are soldiers out there, who are, but you know what an 18 Delta is, all right? That is an SF medic. Okay, I'm going to ask you a question. The technology to track a soldier when they're behind enemy lines or when they're in a maneuver, when you're in a movement, you always have to maintain 15 feet, correct? Wedge formation, why are we maintaining 15 feet? If a round comes in, you don't want to have the whole unit taken out. So when you walk from 15 feet apart, you know that you're not going to, one person steps on a landmine, it's not going to explode everybody. But there's another reason. It's tracking. We know that there's satellite tracking. We track the soldiers. We can see the movement. We can see where they're going. Within a 5-foot radius, you can pick up that soldier. You know where he is. Less than 5 feet, if you have 4, 5, 7, 10 people in a close group, you can't tell if it's one person or 10 people. So how do we know these RF chips that they're planning inserting into our hands to pick up, to register whether or not people have been vaccinated? How do we know that those things aren't emitting a signal and then they can monitor our, you know, how many people are congregating, where are we going, whatever. This is monitoring. This is Big Brother. Satellite technology already has that. It can pick that up. So now you think I want an RF chip in my hand that they can tell everything about me? How am I supposed to have any privacy? If I'm making love, if I'm, you know, going to the bathroom, they can pick up on all that stuff. That's why that's a violation of privacy. On top of that, just think about this for a second. How do we know that RF chip is not picking up a signal? It may be a transmitting device, but it may be a receiving device. How do we know that it's not picking up something and then affecting our bodies? I want people to recognize that if you allow fear to motivate you, by definition, you'll always be wrong. People have prayed for me and said many beautiful accolades, and sometimes I'm at a loss of words of how to respond to them because they're such generous words. But I ask people just to pray for me that I do God's will and that my sword is swift and accurate, and that everyone, every other soldier that's involved in this battle for mankind, for the future of mankind, that their swords are swift and accurate. My motivation is my
kids. Okay,
you can kick me out. It doesn't make any.
Folks, this is posted to Coach Dave Live. Go back and watch it again. Slow down and watch it and listen to him, what he's telling us, okay? Now, Stephanie, our resident ex-pagan or whatever she was, said, hypoxia literally can bring you to a trance state. A practice of shaman healers is controlled breathing techniques to draw closer to the veil for whatever works. I think it opens the meat suits, our bodies, even more for outside entities to come in. This is from someone who messed in the demonic realm, folks.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Coach, I had asthma for 36 years. I didn't get to wear anything so anyone could feel sorry for me. Do you know that? No one cared as I walked around.
Right.
So this is a bunch of crap.
So listen, I'm not against people who have genuine reasons. That's not the point, folks. Do you understand? Do you understand how manipulated we have become, that everywhere you go, human beings are wearing masks? Stop for a minute and think about that. Think about, better yet, think about how many are wearing masks against their will.
Seduced.
Thank you. Seduced. So,
you know, maybe coerced. maybe coerced is a better word than seduced.
That would be a good word. Coerced, seduced, whatever.
Well, Coach, if we're afraid to rebel against a mask, what makes you think we're going to be rebelling against the system?
But that's right, Dale, but it's not the mask that we're rebelling against. I think it's the virtue signaling. It's the peer pressure from everybody else. You're not a very nice guy. Jeff, now you mean you don't wear it? You're not very nice, Jeff. So I want to show that I'm nice, pride of life, and I put one on, against my will. Not only against my will, against science, against what I believe to be the truth. I bend my truth so I look like I care. Randy.
You know, we make the joke that weathermen can keep their jobs and be wrong half of the time. The only people I know that can be wrong even more so than the weatherman and still keep their job are the CDCs and the so-called professionals.
All the experts. Go ahead, Randy.
Amen. Coach, I think the answer is right there in what you read in 1 John 2. John's teaching the little children, his followers, all the Christians that he has in his life there. He's telling them exactly what we're telling everybody right now. And he's saying, but you have the unction, you have the anointing, you have the understanding because you have the Holy Spirit in you to hear and to listen and to judge it, to judge what you hear and say, that doesn't sit well with my spirit, or it does. We have to judge this information, Coach, and just close our eyes, shut off the noise, and go sit down and listen and hear God and hear God and hear the Holy Spirit and judge it.
I got the right to
judge it.
We have, and I have the right to be wrong. Bear with me, folks. I got 9 minutes left. I got two things I got to show you. Sheldon, click on BLM money goes directly to the DNC. It's about the fourth thing down. I saw this today, and it just all makes sense. It just all makes sense. Donations to Black Lives Matter. This is Hal Turner. Goes directly to the Democratic National Committee. Now, I'm not going to go down and read this. You can do it. We'll give you the link. All right. Donation. Hey, Sheldon, we can't see the top of that a little bit. It's kind of blocked. I don't want people to think I'm lying to them. Donations to blacklivesmatter.com all go to the Democratic National Committee. And then he makes Black Lives Matter is a fraud. It's a fraud. Hey, it's a fraud. And then this article presents the evidence that all the money is going to the Democratic National Convention.
Hey, Coach. Yeah. I just popped an image in there. That image shows the whole thing, the whole breakdown. Sheldon, if you can get that, trust me, it's good. It's good.
You put it in the chat?
Certainly did, Coach.
See, people won't speak out against Black Lives Matter because it's virtue signaling that you're not racist. They've been remarkable with what they've done. See, if you speak the truth regarding the fact that if a black man married the mother of his children and stopped gang banging and got a job, many of his problems would go away. You're not allowed to say that. See, and because I'm not allowed to say that, I have to virtue signal by saying how much I agree that blacks have been oppressed. When I say that, I virtue signal, and I keep them trapped in the mess that they're trapped in. That's the way I see it. Vinny, I don't know if we can get it up there. One more thing I want you to see. We'll probably end on this. What the media won't tell you about racism. That's too small for us to see, Sheldon. Go to the second one on that. What the media won't tell you about racism. The media won't tell you. Why? Because the media is divide and conquer. The media. Just play about 3 or 4 minutes of this. What the left won't tell you about the private black people.
Why would race have anything to do with it? Put your mind to what you want to do and go for that. It's kind of like religion to me. It's a good excuse for not getting there.
Where are we in the United States of America in race relations and what you see from day to day in your life?
Skip, they wouldn't want to ask me that. They wouldn't want my answer to represent it because God knows I have been nothing but blessed. my whole path, these 33 years have been nothing but a blessing. I've never dealt with racism, and I'm glad I didn't have to.
There is a class of colored people who make a business of keeping the troubles, the wrongs, and the hardships of the Negro race before the public. Some of these people do not want the Negro to lose his grievances because they do not want to lose their jobs. There is a certain class of race problem solvers who don't want the patient to get well. That was said by Booker T. Washington.
How are we going to get rid of racism until...
Stop talking about it. I'm going to stop calling you a white man.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask you to stop calling me a black man.
You know, it's frustrating to me that people take race and they make it personal. You know what I mean? Like we're at a loss in this generation. If you look at it in the 80s, Archie Bunker was a stark racist. Stark. If you don't know who Archie Bunker is, look him up. All in the Family. Great show. The Jeffersons, stark racist. Fred Sanford, stark racist. But you know what black people and white people did? They laughed. You watch 48 Hours with Eddie Murphy and Nick Nolte. Both of them hated each other because he was black and because he was white. You know what they did? They laughed.
But I ask you what the racial breakdown was of your audience. Do you remember this? You told me the only black face you could see in the whole audience was your makeup artist. I believe that's what you said. And she was in the front row, right? A lot of white kids love rap.
Yes.
Explain that. What does that say to you? What's the message of it? What's the bigger picture of it?
I don't want to be bashed because I don't want to sound like I'm on the wrong, if there is a side, but I thought that was clearly a message that there was no such thing as racism. That's what I
see,
thought.
See, folks, you know, I said so the black guy is not allowed to say that there's no racism. That's virtue signaling. He's not allowed to say it, see? He's not allowed to say it because all the other peer pressure comes because black people have to believe that. Christians have to believe and act like this. They have to. That's virtue signaling. It is not the truth. It is not the truth. Folks, there is no racism. It is not the truth. Quit trying to prove you're not racist. There is no racism. It's made up.
I'm garbage, Coach.
Beyond that, Coach, supposedly in our country, in our system, you're supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. Anybody claims you're a racist, simply ask them, please prove it.
Yeah. Larry, we want to make sure at the very beginning that they know we're not guilty. We start apologizing before we've even had the conversation. You know, I have a black dog. I like black. I got a black car. I'm not racist. I got black hair. It's all virtue signaling, and it doesn't do anything except dissuade us from the truth. The only reason racism is perpetuating itself is because those of us who know the truth won't speak out against it because of the hell we're going to catch if we do. And the only reason our friends are going to take the vaccine is because we continue to do this. It's the only reason.
Hey, Coach, once again, you can't fix racism against black people by being racist against white people.
Well, there isn't any racism anyway.
It goes back to the pride, Coach. If we'll deal with our pride and get free of it, we can stand up and speak truth.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. And you know, I said to my wife the other day, I said, you know, I said a specific person to my wife. And I said, you know what? I'm about to go after her. I said to my wife, I'm about to go after her. And you know what my wife say? Oh, it'll just cause disharmony. No chit. About time. I'm not gonna live in an environment where that lie continues to be perpetuated and that lie continues to be believed. I don't care if it costs me my friendship. I am not going to let it continue. Because why? I am a defender of truth. I represent he that is true. And only the truth will set you free. And it's our job to call out the lies when we see them, no matter what price we have to pay as a result of it.
Amen, Coach.
Amen.
Amen. Virtue signaling. Virtue signaling. Ask yourself, I've asked enough questions. A lot of good links today. Make sure you get them. Go to the webpage. Watch that thing from Dr. Rashid Buttar. It's amazing. Tomorrow, Pastor David Berman. I got a clip I was going to play from him. He's a fighting pastor out of New Hampshire. He's going to join us tomorrow. God bless you, folks. We'll see you then.